turn with me to Luke chapter 24. I should probably also turn there. And as you're getting there, it dawned on me that we live in a world of choices. We currently are working, not working anymore. My daughter has decided where she's going to go to school. My eldest daughter is already in college. She's at school. And you know, it dawned on me, they have the choice of whether they're going to choose to go to school and then which school they want to choose, or they could decide not to. Right? They have that option to abstain from going. We're in a world of choices. We do the same thing going out to eat, right? Chick-fil-A, not today because it's Sunday. Raising Cane's, or you know what? We're just going to go home to Smart's Cafe. My kids hate that. But I love Smart's Cafe. We always have choices. My wife said, don't use this one, but so you know I'm going to. 2020, we have a presidential election coming up. You might decide, hey, I don't want either candidate. I'm just not going to vote, right? Do you see where I'm going with this? We can decide one way or the other, or we cannot vote at all. Well, this morning, we are going to talk about the resurrection story. But here's the thing. This is the one thing that you do not get a vote on. You have to make a decision this morning whether Jesus rose again or he didn't. You can't be Switzerland on this one. You have to make a decision. So we're going to read this story together, and you have to decide in your heart, is this just some sort of story? Or did Jesus rise from the dead? Let's take a look at it. Verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And who? It's the ladies that we're talking about. First day of the week, this would be Sunday. I just want to break that down for you. Sunday, it has to be on Sunday because Jesus said in Matthew 20, it was going to be 3 days later that he would rise again. Jesus predicted his death, burial, and resurrection. So this is the day 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, I will rise from the dead. So here they go, the ladies to the tomb. Verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. This one sentence right here, our whole faith hinges right here. We would not be here today if they found the body of Jesus. Jesus did not spiritually raise from the dead. Some of us come from faith backgrounds that believe that. Let me tell you, Paul hung everything on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our faith is what matters, and what matters is he rose from the dead because he said he would. If not, he's a liar. See, they expected, those ladies walking into the tomb, they expected the tomb to be guarded, the stone to be in place, and his body to still be there. Look at verse 3. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. So not only are they very confused because the stone is not there, the grave is empty, but now they have two angels, and it says dazzling apparel. So they're at a point of being overwhelmed, their senses right now. It wasn't what they expected, and now we have two angels. Hey, ladies, how are y'all today? And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said, why do you seek the living among the dead? Two things pop out for me right here as the first. Not only were the women surprised, but the angels seem surprised that the women are surprised. And the other thing is, as they said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? You know what, guys? We often look for the living among the dead, don't we? That's why you tried alcohol and it doesn't work. That's why you tried other substances, it doesn't work. That's why you try relationships and it doesn't work. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is the only way and the only source, the truth, the way, and the life, Jesus and only Jesus. And they're saying, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Continuing, he is not here, but he is risen. The angels, being shocked, that these women seem to be shocked, say, remember how he told you that while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise again. It's as if they're telling them, hey, Jesus said it was going to happen, and y'all trust Jesus, right? So he's not here, right? And yet they were still shocked. But verse 8 says, and they remembered these words. The teaching of everything that they've heard from Jesus, the instructions that he'd been given, all came flooding back to memory. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now here's what's interesting. Luke is going to name the women. He says, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with him who told these things to the apostles. Why would Luke bother to tell us names of women? First of all, if you're going to cook up a story at the tomb, having women being the first witnesses is not the best way to go about it. And let me tell you why. Women in this time could not even testify in court as a reliable witness. If you were going to cook up a story of an empty tomb, you might have gone with John or Peter or any one of the 11. But going with women first, it only makes sense in this light. This is exactly what happened. You don't cook up a story using women. You use women because this is what happened. It's the truth. It lends to the reliability of the empty tomb and the resurrection of Jesus. But there's another thing that I see here. God, in his infinite wisdom, allowed women to be the first there to see the empty tomb. I can't help but think in Genesis, women, you kind of get a bad rap, don't you? You've been hurt this whole time because of that whole apple incident. In his redeeming love, he said, women, I'm going to let you be the first to know that I am who I say I am, and I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Women were the first on the scene. Jesus is the first feminist. But continuing, it says this, but these words seemed to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. Could you imagine their excitement? They've just seen two angels. They've seen the empty tomb. They've remembered all the things that Jesus said, and now the tomb is empty. And they come back to tell the 11, and they're going to have this awesome moment. And everybody's like, we saw him die. We saw the spear in the side. We saw the nails driven in his hands. We saw him taking his last breath. They just could not imagine that Jesus was able to overcome that. I want to read that one again. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them, but Peter. But Peter. Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stopping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. You see, Peter ran to, he heard the story, he ran to the tomb. He had to find out for himself, is this true? Can it be possible? And this is where I want to follow Peter this morning. Because you see, if this is your first time hearing the resurrection story, if this is your first time with us, you know, it doesn't matter. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. Or there might be some of you, this is about the 200th time you've heard the Easter story. Whether this is your first time or your millionth time, I want to ask the congregation a couple of questions. Because see, Peter heard and he went home marveling. So here's my question. How will you go home today? We're all going to hear this story. We just did. But it's either going to have an impact or it's not going to have an impact. So the first question, will you go home marveling? To marvel means this, to be filled with wonder or astonishment. When Peter heard, he was amazed. We have this thing at my house called monkey bread. It is the only thing that I can make. And it's the only thing I can make because it's my favorite thing in the world. In fact, if anybody new is coming to our house, guess what? They're going to get monkey bread. I love monkey bread. When I pull monkey bread out of the oven, the whole house is filled with cinnamon and sugar, ooey goodness. I marvel at monkey bread. Some of you are laughing because you've had it. It's literally canned biscuits, butter, cinnamon, and sugar, and that's it. It's nothing spectacular except for that I love it. Now, here's the only problem. My family members, they don't marvel at monkey bread because they've had it tons and tons of times. In fact, if I say monkey bread, I can count on at least three sets of eyes going up and over. You know what? The Easter story can sometimes be like that to some of us. It should be a story like monkey bread that leaves us marveling. But chances are this is just another Sunday, another message. But you know what? When Peter heard it, he was marveled. To believe in the resurrection is to believe in God. It is our hope, the foundation of our faith, the validity of who Jesus Christ is. It's his deity, the promise of what's to come. It validates that the Bible is true. It strengthens our faith because Jesus didn't live his life in vain, and neither will you. We have a hope and a promise of heaven to come. We should be as excited as Peter. We should be in awe of the empty tomb just as Peter. So my question to you is, when you leave here today, will you marvel? The second thing is this, will you recognize who Jesus truly is? Peter recognized that something amazing had just happened. He gets to the empty tomb. I want to share with you a verse from another gospel, John 26 and 7. It says, then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. See, Peter gets there and he sees folded clothes, empty tomb. You know, it is possible that somebody stole Jesus' body at this time. But I love this verse in John because it tells us if you're going to steal a body, are you going to stop and fold the clothes? No, Peter recognized that Jesus just fulfilled the very promise he had made in Matthew 20, that he was going to be raised from the dead. Jesus said this was going to happen. You know, it's one thing for Jesus to say it's going to happen. It's another for it to actually happen, for him to do it. Peter is now in awe of the power of Jesus Christ. Peter recognized that Jesus was raised from the dead, and it changed his life. You know, Peter has had a rough go of things. But this is the spot that is going to launch him into his ministry. Right here, seeing the empty tomb. The reality of what just happened and who Jesus is going to change his whole future because Jesus rose from the dead. Peter recognized that Jesus is alive. Will you recognize this morning that Jesus is alive? The third question is, will you come to terms with your past failures and surrender all of your shame, your hurt, and all the baggage you've been carrying with you? See, I want to keep following Peter because not only is he sitting in this tomb and does he recognize that Jesus is who he says he is. Peter probably had a very rough Friday and Saturday and a very rough start to Sunday morning. You want to know why? Peter was there. He had an opportunity to defend Jesus. And what did he do? He denied him three times. In fact, Peter's whole life, these past 3 years, have been kind of some ups and some downs. I bet you and your relationship with God, you've had some ups and some downs. Let me take a look at some highlights from Peter. Some good things for Peter, right? An attaboy Peter. If you take a look at Matthew 16, 15 through 7, he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. That's like being in a big meeting and somebody asks the question and you're the only one that gets it right. This is an amazing, amazing spot in Peter's life and in his ministry as Jesus asked, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Son of God. You are the Christ, the Messiah. This is a highlight. Now let's look at some not so good situations for Peter. Matthew 14 says this, 28 through 31. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water. Remember, Jesus comes walking in the storm and Peter's in the boat with all the other disciples. And Peter says, hey, if it's you, ask me to come out there with you. And Jesus said, verse 29, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? So we see two very different scriptures, a contrast basically of this amazing faith of Peter. And then, I mean, he did, in this one, he at least got to walk on water. He's only the second person in all of history to be able to do it. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he heard the words, O you of little faith. So in one moment, Jesus is affirming him, his ministry, that he's made the right decisions, that he's said the right things. And then here, the creator of the universe says, you have little faith. But it only gets worse. Let me share with you some terrible things, some disastrous things. Take a look at Matthew 16, 23. But Jesus turned to Peter. He's not going to say, little faith. He's going to say, get behind me, Satan. That has to be the worst thing in all of history to hear from Jesus. Do you see how he's just descending downward? You are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Matthew 26, 33 through 35. Peter answered, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away, Jesus. That Jesus, here I am. I'm going to serve you. But Jesus looked right at him. He said to him, truly, I tell you this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Poor Peter. You know, another verse that I didn't think about, but Matthew 26, verse 51, I don't have it up here. They're coming to arrest Jesus. And again, he charges, he pulls his sword and he cuts the guy's ear off. Right? Oh, Peter, you're sinking at the wrong times. You're saying the wrong things. You're denying Jesus. Peter, you are making a mess of things. But here he is in that empty tomb. He is marveling that it's empty. He's in awe that Jesus has said that he would do it, and he did it. So the question is, can he surrender all those past failures? Is Jesus big enough to cover all of that? And can he move forward? You know he had a horrible Friday night when he denied him three times. What could he have done on Saturday knowing that he let his Savior down? And then this morning he finds that empty tomb. It's not just a maybe. It's not just a possibility. It is the truth of our faith. He sees that Jesus is alive. The resurrection has just happened. And not too many verses later, in John 21, 15 through 17, Jesus is going to restore Peter to ministry. You see, he's out fishing. It's kind of like, what do you do after you see an empty tomb and Jesus isn't there? Well, Peter goes fishing. And off in the distance, he sees Jesus making breakfast, cooking some fish. And after they eat breakfast in John 21, Jesus asks him, "Do you love me?" He says, "Lord, you know that I do." And he says, "Feed my lambs." "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know that I do. Tend to my sheep." And a third time, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter, feeling the weight and the pang of Jesus having to ask a third time, says, "Lord, you know I love you more than any of these." Jesus looks to him and he says, "Feed my sheep." It's interesting. Why did Jesus need to ask him three times? Almost one question for every time that Peter denied him. We see a redeeming God says, "Peter, I still believe in you. Peter, I still want to take all that hurt and all that pain and I want to do something with it. I want to take your mess and give you a message. Peter, I want to use you to change the world." But it's at this moment that Peter has to make a decision. Can I surrender all of my hurt and my baggage and my pain? Can I give it to Jesus, the resurrected Lord? And can I do what he's asking me to do? Number four. Will you have a life-changing experience that will change the world? See, Peter went home changed. And here's the thing, in a few moments, you're gonna go home today. But this just wasn't an Easter message for Peter. This was a life-changing event. And the message this morning, whether it's the first time you've heard it or it's the 100th time you've heard it, this should be a life-changing message for us. Will you live in the resurrection power of Jesus? From all the ups and the downs, from taking his eyes off Jesus to denying him three times, Peter was able to live in the resurrection power of Jesus. In fact, in Acts 2, we don't have to go very far. He is going to stand up and he is going to boldly proclaim. Acts 13, 38, 39 says this, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything which you could not be freed from the law of Moses." Peter is going to announce the gospel. Peter is going to share the very word. Peter is going to say, "Hey, who I was is not who I am. What I've done doesn't define what I'm going to do. The empty tomb is now going to define me. The resurrection of Jesus is now going to launch me forward." And he is going to proclaim the gospel in one of the greatest sermons of all time. And you know what? 3,000 people are going to get saved on that day. Because Peter was able to put his faith and his trust in the resurrected Lord. You know, there was a time for me when I was in church, and it was hard to come to church at times. You know, you're looking at this suit thinking, "Man, where'd he get that?" Well, I was a banker for a long time. This was my uniform. Is it hot in here or is it just you? I went through a very difficult time in my life. And I found myself at a church across 75. And I was just there because I wanted to be there. The bank was actually sponsoring an event at the church. I had no real intention of going to that church. I certainly didn't plan on pastoring that church. But we had an event, and it ended at about 3:00 in the afternoon, and like all good Baptists, everybody went home, and there was still a lot of cleaning to do. They were there for the eating. That's not true of our church. But there was some things left to be done, and there was a lot of people still working, so I just kind of picked up. I just started kind of cleaning some tables. You see, I was living alone at the time, and I didn't want to go home because it meant that I was going to be alone when I got home. You ever been there? You see, I, like Peter, I had a past. I, like Peter, had done some things I wasn't so proud of. I, like Peter, was in a very difficult situation. But it's crazy because I started washing a table at the church, and all of a sudden I just started crying. I didn't really know why, and I'm not really a crier, and I was embarrassed by the tears. And somebody asked me, hey, are you okay? And it made me cry even more. You know how that is? But I started cleaning, and something broke inside of me. And it was at that very moment. It was like, it wasn't an audible voice, but I knew the Lord was ministering to me. And he said, Chris, you have forgotten about me, but I did not forget about you. I've got a plan and I've got a purpose for your life. It wasn't too much later that I was leading fifth and sixth graders at that very church. And it wasn't too much later after that, they said, hey, will you help us? Our youth pastor is leaving. Will you help us with the youth? And I said, look, y'all don't know who I am or what I've done. And they said, no, just help us for a little while till we find somebody. It took them 5 years to find somebody. Be careful what you agree to in ministry. But you know what? It was in those times, I'm so thankful for those times, that the Lord got a hold of me. Because for me, that was my empty tomb experience. For me, that was the point that I could either put my faith and trust in who Jesus is. I could believe him at his word, that he had a plan and purpose for my life. And you know what's crazy about that youth group is we were at a Spanish church and a lot of people started coming to hear the word of God in English. And we started growing, not students, we started growing adults in the youth ministry. It was really weird. So we recognized that we had to do something, so we started a little bit of a Bible study. But it turned into a congregation. And so this is special for me. Because for me, I had to surrender all of the stuff of my past. I had to surrender all of the stuff of the places where I failed God. I had to surrender all of the things in my life that weren't pleasing to God. And you know what? Today, this resurrection story, is it going to be just another message for you? Or will this message be the power of God in your life? Are you willing to let Jesus have all the junk in your life? Will you let today be a life-changing experience? And the last question, I want to ask you this. If so, what then will the difference be in your life? The resurrection of Jesus. It is the power of our faith. Jesus wants to live in me. He wants to live through me. And he wants to impact others by his grace and by his mercy through the message of that resurrection. But what about you? Will you be ready to let Jesus live in you and through you? Will you let today be a life-changing experience? Because it all rests on this one thing. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. That changes everything. Will you let it change you?
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.